This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to the fall edition of the ILTA podcast, What Went Wrong? Often we hear that mistakes are what make our fate. During this podcast series, we will find out what should have happened, what actually happened, and then we'll dive into lessons learned. Knowing that hard work often breeds success, we want to know how a what went wrong moment changed the course of a career, an idea, or a life. Today, ILTA welcomes Seth Silpaswan, is the Director of Information Technology at Hoag, and is the member of the ILTA Tech Solutions Content Coordinating Team. He's also an active ILTA volunteer and blogger, and he recently attended ILTACon 2019 with us in Florida. So Seth, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you about what went wrong because I think you've got a really interesting kind of career journey. So how does what went wrong really resonate with you?
It resonates with me because nothing actually goes to plan. I believe there's a good quote out of one of my favorite TV shows, actually. It just says, you know, plan A and B fall apart, and, you know, plan M is probably around where things start coming together. I start off by saying I was one of those things that probably wouldn't have been if it wasn't for something that went wrong. My father came from Thailand, from another country here, and he came over when he was 18, didn't know much English, just, you know, got on a plane with probably a bunch of cash and came over. I had two uncles that were already here, but they weren't there to meet him or anything else. And he dropped off a plane, was supposed to catch a connecting flight over to Washington, D.C., and ended up getting shuffled onto a plane to Miami, where he ended up staying, and he met my mother there. And then they moved from Miami over here to Santa Barbara. So it definitely became something of a oops moment. Something went wrong, but theoretically, something good came out of it, or as much as it could be, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different kind of what went wrong moment. That's like the best kind of perfect story, fate, if you will, for what went wrong.
Very true. You know, it just goes to show that just about anything can go wrong. And if you're adaptable enough, you can really turn it to your advantage and, you know, get something you can have for a lifetime out of it.
I think that's really interesting because not only that, but we're talking on Friday the 13th. So of all the days that something could go wrong, let's pivot off of that and talk about your career. So
I got to mention something about the whole Friday the 13th though. So my wife and I just happen to love that number. We were actually married on Friday the 13th. We kind of celebrate it quite a bit every year. So when you said, you know, there's something fun probably happening this weekend or anything, it's very much so of, not our true wedding anniversary of today, but certainly whenever there's a Friday the 13th, it's kind of like one of those leap year things, right? We just have to celebrate that thing. And we always do celebrate it as our wedding anniversary. So
yeah, that's a pretty cool what went wrong, but not really wrong moment.
No.
But kind of looking back over your career, I'm sure you've got a really good oops moment. So please tell me what went wrong.
Okay. So my biggest oops moments, no, not biggest oops moment, the one I'm willing to share, I suppose that's not going to incriminate me somehow, is probably when we were rewiring our server room. We had gone ahead and purchased some uninterruptible power supplies, and we're pulling those out, pulling the old ones out, putting the new ones in, and making sure that everything stayed with power. So as we were moving things back and forth, we were trying to make sure that at least one power supply was connected to the battery pack. And then as we switch out, we bought a bunch of surge protectors that we could, you know, hang on the side and plug these things in as we transfer them over so they wouldn't go down. In hindsight, it probably would have been much better just to flip them off and bring them back up. And that's probably a proper way to do things. But certainly, you know, when you're in it, you just try for what you have. So the surge protectors were really great. They, you know, they were just big enough to kind of fit in these brackets that we had in the wall from older cabling. Now, what I didn't see or really didn't consider as we were plugging things in back and forth was that we had some other machines that were there that were plugged in that wouldn't necessarily have battery backups or an extra power supply that were kind of hidden away where they weren't supposed to be, which was very unfortunate. And as we were plugging things in back and forth, the surge protectors on the side of them had the power switch, you know, turning off and on instead of on the top or bottom or anything else. So we were putting them on the rackets, and as they shifted back and forth, left and right, all of a sudden one of our big racks just went dark. And we realized that the shift had put the bracket just enough to flip the off switch on our surge protector, which was currently holding the power to all of these devices. So there's an oops that these other devices went down on some legacy things. You know, it goes dark, so we're freaking out and we're trying to back out as much as possible. And, you know, one of my team members happens to step on something and we hear a crack and realize, oops, that cord actually went into our main router, and the little tab like broke off, the actual RJ connection broke off in the port. So we now couldn't get it out, and we had to actually call the ISP, and that certainly was a very, very scary moment to realize that, oh my God, do we even have an extra port that we can do this on? Which we did, luckily. And we, you know, just decided to pretty much call it a day after that. You know, we got everything back up. It was running, but we didn't fully finish configuring anything. We said, okay, you know, let's not tempt, as you said, fate earlier to do something more to us. But I totally blamed it on our ISP. Said it was their fault that we went down for, you know, 20 minutes or so. Came back up.
Yeah, I feel like that definitely counts as a oops. And it does lead us very kind of gently into the next question of, well, considering that this was, you know, older technology, if you will, what's changed to now? What, you know, I feel like we might not have some of those problems now.
We can hope so. Would love to say that I can get rid of all the wires in my back room, but I don't think I quite can yet. However, I have noticed that there are less of them. That's definitely true. You know, as we move to cloud infrastructure, things like that, you know, there's definitely less things that we have to worry about on premises and much more that we can now worry about on someone else's premises. But the biggest thing that's changed, I feel, is really the pace, you know, the pace of how technology grows, which has been exponential for a while, but the adoption of technology being so pervasive with people being asked to do more things that I may not have had the skills for to do, you know, 10, 15 years ago, but also the availability of the tools to do them that are being built in such ways that, you know, anybody can use them. So that sort of thing is becoming much more prevalent, and I'm applauding that for one. I feel that, you know, access to technology for everyone is really going to help heighten our society, hopefully. But
yes, agreed, 100%. Yeah. I think that it's probably one of those moments in history where we're at an apex point. We can kind of look back and see what's gotten us here, and then we're not, you know, really sure when we're standing on that precipice, really what's ahead. So for you, what feels like it needs to change the quickest? What needs to change most in your day-to-day?
Feel like I should have said, like, it's an exciting time to be alive. As far as what needs to change, I mean, it's really, I think we need to start looking more into ourselves. You know, there's a lot of technology that we have that help us do things, but I feel like we're very short on things that make us as humans better humans, as it were. So, you know, I'm very much into the idea of biohacking, you know, being able to, you know, change yourself somewhat to do something else, exoskeletons or, you know, whatever it happens to be. You know, I certainly can't, you know, grow a clone of myself because I'd probably end up killing it because I can't grow anything. But certainly someone out there who is smarter than me can do something very much like it and, you know, hopefully make a better me. Personally, I have just been waiting to hack my brain like Johnny Mnemonic. And that's everything I tell you. I just want to talk to a dolphin. I want to hack something with a dolphin. Let's go.
That's awesome. It does not lead us, however, into my question of what technology would you like to bring back?
So that one is also hard. You know, the bring back technology in a useful way is probably not going to be an easy thing. Although I suppose you can bring something back and it would be extra secure if it was far enough, because who would really have the ability to read it? But what I have wanted to do for a while, because I think it would just be fun. We've crossed that threshold, as you say, where, you know, technology is to a point where people don't consider what's come before as much anymore because it's just been around for so long. But I kind of want to hand out, you know, five and a quarter inch floppies out to, you know, the associates that come in and tell them, you know, oh, there's something very important on here, you know, that our executive director or the managing shareholder really wanted you to see, but, you know, go ahead and grab it. I got to run and just walk away from them and just see what they would do if I handed them.
I think they might cry.
It's very possible. It's very possible. I expect to see people just wandering the halls, listless and, you know, broken. Just be like, what do I do?
Oh, that's also not a great segue into how do you view failure?
Well, so failure is a very different animal. Failure, I feel, is something that is necessary for everyone to go through. It is something that helps you grow. It's something that makes you someone else. You know, I can't necessarily say for the better because people take it differently, but certainly here for take a page out of, you know, some old sayings, it builds character, right? So I have a little story I can tell you about failure in general is, you know, everybody, my opinion rather, that everybody, you know, in their professional career at some point has a, you know, an epiphany moment, something that like lets them decide who they're going to be professionally, because it usually happens in the job, right? But just who they want to be. Like, it's where you start to put your personal values together and really say, like, this is what I'm going to stand for, or this is what I won't stand for. And a lot of that comes from being criticized or ostracized, or something happens to where you feel you've been, you know, persecuted, and how are you going to take this? So, like, for me, when I first started in this position, I started out as half IT, half general legal project work, and they had me on the possibility to do trials, to help out with trials and to go and set up and, you know, help run paperwork, things like that. My predecessor, who had been here for a couple of years, had said he's always wanted to do one of the trials and he'd never actually ever been able to do them. And in my first 6 months, I had three different ones to do. So he missed out. He was very jealous about that. But the very first one I did was, you know, in somewhere very close by. It was an arbitration, and it was quite a big thing, but we ended up doing it in the moot court of a law school that's close by. And, you know, so I had to be there every day to set up and take things down and, you know, just try and make myself available to the attorneys. I was brand new. I like to consider myself a friendly person. I started chatting with one of the opposing counsel's associates. You know, I mean, we weren't talking about the case or anything, but certainly, like, I was being friendly, I was smiling, we were laughing. It wasn't a contentious case that, you know, the client said something or anything like that, but certainly it was apparent that we had camaraderie. One of the senior attorneys on our side came up to me and said two things. First off, she looked at me and said, you know, you're dressed, you know, you're business casual. I was in a tie, I didn't have a jacket on. She asked me if I had a suit, and I said, yes. And she, you know, came in closer and said, then wear it. And it took me back because I was not generally used to anybody kind of speaking that way. And it was very, very intense. And it kind of scared me a little bit, but everyone, you know, kind of needs a healthy little dose of fear every once in a while. But later on, she had also sent an email to me copying my direct boss, talking about my behavior, how inappropriate it was, how I need to conduct myself better, and that, you know, she wasn't sure that I was supposed to be part of this team, you know. And I sat there for quite some time, you know, staring at that letter and going, just like, this is just this. I took this as a personal failure. This is a personal failure on my end that I did not perform the way I needed to perform in a professional setting, which was my very first real job setting after, you know, college. And I'm trying. I'm doing what I need to do, and I'm getting attacked. I'm just getting personally attacked here. And I, from first instinct, like anybody else, you know, fighting back here, and press the reply button and start writing something scathing. And granted, I'm new, so I don't really have anything scathing to say, but still, you know, it felt very non-happy. And I realized that in the end, she was advocating for her business. She's advocating for her image. She's advocating for her clients. And granted, a nobody, but certainly not someone that has the clout to be able to step up and say, like, you can't tell me what I need to do like that. And that epiphany, that realization of, you know, yeah, it's intense, but, you know, it's very possible she doesn't really mean it as like a personal attack to me because she doesn't really know me. Like, why, how would that be a personal attack to me? And the epiphany of, you know, okay, I need to shift how I think about this. I'm not thinking about this as like I failed everything. A failure is really just something telling me I can do something differently or I can do something better. So I shifted my thoughts and said, you know, I'm going to take this as constructive criticism. Yeah, it could have been better, whatever, but, you know, certainly she can make me better. And I responded with that. I responded to her with that. And she has become like one of my biggest champions and a good friend. Like, she immediately responded and said, you know, like, it's exactly what I meant. You know, I'm sorry it came off as brash, but, you know, just the understanding of, you know, she just happens to be that type of person to kind of be blunt about it. But not every failure you get is going to be because, you know, this is like a horrible thing dumping on you, even whether it's life or, you know, a person or, you know, whoever. It's a chance for you to shift your way of thinking, turn, pivot, whatever you want to do, and think of what, not what you can do differently or how you can do it better, but, you know, why are you doing it and why shouldn't you do it in a different manner that leads you somewhere else? So failure is something that is more than it could be and everyone needs to go through it. And I can hope that it's not as personal attacks to most people as it could be, especially their first epiphany moment. But I handle failure a lot better after that epiphany moment, I gotta say.
Well, I think that's, you know, failure is going to go into two buckets, that reactionary stance that you wanted to take originally that may or may not have a positive outcome, or you can use it to motivate yourself. And you seem certainly to have done that. But what motivates you normally if something doesn't go as planned like this did? How do you then kind of step to the next level?
You know, there's a drive that everyone has, I think, you know, your own motivational skill set. My personal one happens to be that I really care that people like doing what they do or what I provide them with. You know, being in technology, especially on the support side overall, because, you know, we all are one way or another, is just, you know, I bring a tool to the table and I tell them how to use it. And if they have a great time using it, and, you know, that's wonderful. If they don't, then, you know, I feel like that's just another personal failure. You know, I brought it in and they didn't like it. Speaking on that, I have actually an example that just literally came up yesterday. You know, I introduced a couple tools to this one attorney who's been struggling quite a bit in her organizational aspect of certain parts of her practice. And she came to me yesterday and said, I love this new feature. I can't thank you enough for letting me use it and, you know, getting it for me. I feel like I finally have control of my practice again. And like that means a whole lot. Like, that's like warm and tingly, right? I mean, that's just like, I can see that I've made such a difference in someone who is struggling, you know, quite a bit. And how do I help that person? And, you know, not everyone's as open to change as, you know, it could be, things like that. But certainly those are the sorts of things that drive me specifically. You know, my team, I would like to think that I can, you know, help them by giving them that aspect, but, you know, it doesn't always happen. I mean, sometimes, you know, we try to do things go wrong. I tend to reward pretty heavily those people who think, for lack of a better cliche, outside of the box, right? Something that gives them something beyond what they would normally do, because it shows me that they are flexible enough to be trial under fire, or, you know, they are flexible enough to actually shift gears when it's proper to shift gears and understand that our jobs, our whole lives are all about those types of shifts. You know, the biggest reward for people that I give out usually goes to that person who just gets whatever that needs to be done, but in such a way that is still within the boundaries of what we're allowed to do, right? And I never punish people for coming to me and telling me it can't be done, as long as they can actually articulate why it cannot be done. Because if they just say it can't be done because the paperwork says it, you know, that's really not going to help. I went through that today with a phone company. I have a chip that supposedly is data only, and I have a device that should be able to get it online, but it can't do it with the data only chip. And I put in my phone chip, it can get online. And I asked the person, well, what's the difference between the two besides, you know, being able to make phone calls on this line? And she said, that's not proper. That's not how it works. But right now I'm literally looking at the device right now. It's online with the chip because I took a separate phone that we weren't using. I just took the chip out of it. So it's those sorts of things that when people put hard stop to it, that I tend to not quite like, and then I turn around and go around them somehow, you know. Worst situation that could happen, we were just part of an event that just hands down was just horrible. Nothing we did was going to help the situation. The speakers, one speaker came up to us afterwards and said, I felt like a hostage in the front of the room. I mean, it was bad. And, you know, to diffuse the situation before we all started pointing fingers at each other, because, you know, in a team, that'll just break you apart. So we need to cohesively get together. Took everybody out for ice cream.
Everybody wants to go out for ice cream all the time.
And exactly.
I think that's probably not what I'm going to, your answer for what I'm about to ask you, but what's next for you?
I'm going to Disney World. No, wait, we did that. We did that this summer. So I would go out and celebrate my anniversary here and hopefully solve another problem over the weekend that they didn't know they had. And of course I have the answer for.
That's awesome. Well, Seth, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of What Went Wrong. And we'll see you guys in the winter issue.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.